Okay, Rabbi, today's daf is daf Lamed Ches, and we're holding six lines from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara begins, actually seven lines. Omar Shmuel, Shor Shalpatam, Harihuk Ragli Kol Odom. What does this mean? Morning, Brother Shai. I hope you had no problems with Minyan this morning. Everything worked okay?
We got a slow start, but we had maybe 14.
Baruch Hashem. 14 is great, that's Kaminyan Zohav. Zohav is 14, Zion Hay Base. So, yeah, golden Aminyan. Anyway, Tachlis Rabbi Sai. As you recall, we learned yesterday in the Mishnah that we have Hilchos Chumen. Chumen means that a person can only go in a particular direction. And not only does he have Hilchos Chumen, but the same thing applies to his Behema and to his Kalim. So if Yanko Smith owns a behemoth, or he owns Kalim, just like he can go 2,000 amas in each direction, so too can his behemoth and Kalim go in 2,000 amas in each direction. And what happens if he made an Erev to Tzofoin, and therefore he's able to go 4,000 amas to Tzofoin, and 0 amos Lidoroim, same thing applies to his behemoth and Kalim. They can only go 4,000 amas to Tzofoin, and 0 amas lidorim. They go mamish exactly like ragli habalim. Very good. When is the determining moment as to who the balim are? So Rashi, or not the Rashi, Mishnah already said, and the Gemara and Rashi explained, it's at the zman of bein hashmoshois, of either Friday night or leil yomtiv. Yomtiv is, for instance, Monday. So Yom Tov starts Sunday night, Bein Hashmoshes on Sunday night. Who owned the behemah at that time? If it belonged to Yankel Smith, then it goes in accordance with Yankel Smith's Erev and Tchumen. Now what happens if Yankel Smith were to go and transfer his behemah on Yom Tov morning to somebody else? So if Yankel is the one that owned it and held it on Erev Yom Tov, and at the Zman of Bein Hashmoshes it was in Yankel Smith's possession, then it's Yankel Smith's Tchum, as whatever Yankel Smith is able to go, so too can his animal. Now we'll see in the Gemara, but there are exceptions to the rule. So Omer Shmuel Shor Shel Pato. Pato means a person whose business is to be mafatim animals. Mafate means to go and fatten them up so that they should command a nice price, and that there should be a command, there should be people that are interested in buying the animal. And the Shor Shel Patam, the people, the Patamim, apparently did a lot of advertising and marketing, and people used to come to them from far and wide to go and pick up or to go and buy a shor. So what happened to Leah? What happened is that Yom Tov morning, somebody remembered, I need a wonderful shor, because I have to go and make a sudas molochim, and I don't have enough behemoths. So he goes and travels to, when I say travels, he walks to the patam. That patam might be in a different town or a different city from where he is living. However, that patam has shvarim for sale, and I want to buy a shor from that Mr. Patam. Okay? I live in New York, and our good friend the Patam lives in New Jersey. It's out of the Tchum. However, I made an Erev, and on the basis of the Erev, I was able to go from New York to New Jersey into the Patam's home, Patam's town or village, and I was able to go and buy and get from him the shor. The problem is, can I go and take it back with me? Because after all, the Patam lives in New Jersey, and therefore L'choira, his Bein Hashmoshes the night before was Kona Tchumen in his place in New Jersey. I came from New York, I made my Erev, but what does it have to do with the Patam? So L'choira, I should be stuck, and I shouldn't be able to take this Behema back home. I should have to go within the Tchum of the Patam. Says Shmuel, no. Anybody that buys the animal from the Patam on Yom Tov can take it all the way home. How can you take it all the way home? So explains Rashi, because the Patam knows that there will always be people coming to buy animals on Yom Tov, and so therefore, he explicitly or implicitly is megaladas that whoever is going to go and buy an animal from me on Yom Tov, the chumen of this animal should be identical with the potential lokeach. Even though I don't know if there is a lokeach, but I'm assuming that there will be a lokeach. Says the Patim, that's already enough. I have him in Zin, I have him in mind. If you look at the Rashi right before the wide lines, see Shor Shel Patim. Patim is a person who mafatim shvorim nimkar. That's his job, to go and fatten up the animals to go and sell. Hariyun Karagli Kalon, Zatashi Afil Ben Ira Cheres. Someone's coming from a different city altogether. Shibolakan Al Yidei Erev. The only way he was able to get here was through an Erev. Nevertheless, he can take the animal back home. Why? Since the patim is in the business of selling animals, and he expects that there will be lekuchais, there will be people that will buy an animal on Yom Tov. May Esmael Ukme Bereshus say, already from the day before, he placed it in the reshus of that lokeach, even though I didn't even know he's a lokeach now. I only found out he's a lokeach when he arrived on the scene Yom Tov morning. But nevertheless, the patim has in mind all potential customers, that any customer that comes from wherever he comes, that customer should be able to take the animal back in accordance with the customer's tchum and not in accordance with the patim's tchum. Rashi finishes off. He put it into the shus. Of any potential customer that comes, that's going to buy from him an animal. Now, continuing on.
How can he put it in the shus of someone he doesn't even know? In the shus of anybody, just Tamazoi. It was with the Pito. In order he should be magnet to a specific person, Bishleimen, I understand. How can he magnet to an unknown entity if he comes, if he doesn't come?
If it's there, good. We're going to see in Yetshim on the Amid Beis that there's an Indian even of Chefze Hefker Koyin Shvisa. Even something which is Hefker has its own dinam of Shvisa. What do I mean to say? A person, you're right, has Midrabanan, his own Tchum. But the same Drabanan said that if that individual is willing to, in a sense, be mafkir his tchum, leave that tchum available for anybody and everybody, he has that ability. So it's as if the Patim said on Erev Yom Tov, Rabbi Yisrael, I know I'm going to have customers coming tomorrow, or I expect to have customers tomorrow, and those customers are going to want to take the animal back with them. I, in a sense, hand over already my tchum from now to whoever that customer will be. I no longer keep my tchum vis-a-vis this animal. I keep the tchum for anything else that belongs to me, because those things I intend keeping for the rest of Yom Tov. But those things that I'm going to sell, potentially, I'm now mafkir to, or I transfer to the customer, the tchum already from now. And remember, tchum is the Rabbanan, not the Araisa. So the same Rabbanan that instituted the dinam of tchumim, they said that the person who owns the behemoth can transfer his tchum even before he transfers the animal, because he doesn't even know who the customer will be. But he transfers the tchum to whoever that potential customer will be when he comes in. But that's by a patim. Shmuel continues on, Shor Shel Roye Harihu Karagli Oiso Ir. A Roye, of course, is a shepherd. Shepherd is not in the business of selling animals. He's in the business of taking animals and taking them out to graze in the pasture. However, Rashi says, but from time to time, he will have shchenim or kroivim or friends that will say to the roya, by any chance, do you have an extra animal for sale? And he'll say, yeah, grada, yeah. Oh, let me take a look at it. He looks at it, oh, this is great. I want to take this animal. And of course, they're going to talk about price after Yom Tov. Says Rashi, in explaining Shmuel, here the likelihood of a customer coming from somewhere else is extremely remote, because he's not in the business of selling animals, he's in the business of taking animals out to pasture. It's just once in a while he has an extra animal, he'll sell it. So who are going to be the potential customers? only the people that are local in this town, not people from far away, because they have no idea that this person even sells animals. He just does it kind of as a hobby or on an amateurish basis, not on a professional basis. So therefore, says Shmuel, Shoshal Roya, how you karagli uisa ir, the only time that the Roya is transfers his rishus or his tchum vis-a-vis this animal is only to the local populace and not people that live far away. Getting back to our Mishnah. In our Mishnah we said, Hashoyul kli mechaveira me'erev yontif. Okay, so it's a very simple Gemara, but it would be kedai just to look back at the Mishnah for a short moment. Back on Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph, three lines from the bottom of the Amud towards the end of the Mishnah, it says, Hashoyul kli mechaveira me'erev yontif. What happens if somebody borrows a kli from his chaver on Erev Yontif? Then kiragli hashoyel. Then, since the shoyel is now in possession of that kli on Friday night, or in Yontif, it's Leil Yontif, so his bein hashmoshes are the ones that will determine, so it's kiragli hashoyel. On the other hand, if the mashal held the kli in his rishus on Yontif night, so it was like his tchum, so now when the shoyel comes beyond if he comes Yontif morning, he says to the mashal, can I borrow this and that kli? It's karagli mashal. Then it's like the ragli mashal, because the mashal was the one that had possession. So the these two halachas are all very straightforward. So much so that the Gemara asks Pshita, Kishteitzach, look at who has possession of the kli on Erev Yontif at the time of Ben Hashmashas. Was it the mashal? Was it the shoyel? Freiting Mar, back to Lamed Chesam at Aleph, Hashoyel Kli Mechaveir Me'erev Yontif, then it goes after the Tchum of the Shoyel. Freiting Mar, Pshita, of course it goes after the Tchum of the Shoyel, because after all, it's now in his possession. When it says in the Mishnah, Hashoyel, it doesn't mean that he physically handed it over to him, it just means that Yankel said to Beryl, tomorrow morning I would like to borrow from you an extra plate, because I'm having an extra guest, can I borrow an extra plate from you? Oh, sure. Well, when are you going to pick it up? I'll pick it up tomorrow morning. Okay, fine. Now he decided he's going to make the Suda 2,000 amas away. The question is, whose tchum do we look at the mashal's or the shoyel? Physically, he only handed it over on Shabbos morning. However, contractually, in other words, the agreement, oral agreement, was already from Erev Yontif. And does the Chiddush, even though the Kli was only handed over to him on Yontif, therefore it should remain in the Rishus of the Mashal for purposes of Tchumim, Kamash Malan, that since he already agreed with him on Erev Yontif, yeah, I'm going to give it to you on the morning, no problem. Then it goes, Kiragle Hashoyim. Rabbi Yochanan said this befeirish Hashoyel kli mechaveir mi erev yontif. He already agreed to the borrowing on erev yontif. Al vishlo nisanulei el yontif, even though he only transferred it physically on yontif itself. Okay, so which is kiraglehu? Harihu kiragle Hashoyel. It goes like kiragle Hashoyel because although he didn't have physical possession, but based on this oral agreement, he had already, if you will, contractual possession. And therefore we're going to go Keragle Hashoyel on Friday night and not Keragle Hamashal. When I say Friday night, Leil Yontif. Right, Yontif Keragle Hamashal. So now, it's the reverse case. That the Mishnah says that if the Shoyel only took the Kli on Yontif morning, then we go Keragle Hamashal. Because obviously the Mashal had the Kli the day before. And again, the Gemara says Pshita. And of course, he's talking about the Yankel and Beryl, the next door neighbors, and Yankel used to come to Beryl, you know, every week, every other week, every Yontif, every Shabbos, you know, not every Mamish, but all the time he used to come to him to go and borrow things. Ah, okay, so what happens? So the Shoel, in this case, Yankel goes up to Beryl on Yontif morning. He says, Beryl, could I please borrow from you an extra Sakin to go and for an extra challah. I'm having extra guests, and everybody wants to have his own lecha mishnah. I need another sakin. Sure, I'll be happy to lend it to you. You know, Yankel, anytime you come, I'm delighted to lend you my kelim. Everything is fine. So, Maude Seva Rishuse Kamoikinle. That that already from Erev Yontif he already placed it in the Rishus of Yankel. So Yankel now has his Tchum. So even though Beryl owned the Kli on Erev Yontif, and Yankel only only came to him and asked him for a favor on Yontif morning, I might have thought that since Yankel is a frequent flyer and he's constantly borrowing Kalim, that automatically Beryl gave it to him from Erev Yontif, and therefore it should be Kiragle HaShoyel. Kamash Mulon, that's what the Mishnah is telling us. Meimer Omar, the Mashal says to himself, that's Beryl says, Dilma Mishkach in the Shachrinah B'Ozal B'Shol Mineh. Maybe today he decided not to borrow, to bother me, and he went to another neighbor, the neighbor upstairs, or the neighbor to the other end of the hallway, and he's going to go borrow from him the Kli, and he's not going to borrow from me. And that being the case, then the Mashal did not have the Shoal in mind from Erev Yontif. That's why it goes Kiragle HaMashal. So we had back in the Mishnah that you had a lady that is either cooking a kedera, kedera is some sort of stew, roast beef, fish, chulent, whatever, she's cooking something, and she borrowed from her chaveta tavlin. Tavlin are spices. Or she was baking a cake or baking a challah, and she borrowed mayim umelach from her chaveta. So what does it say in the Mishnah? That the kedera or the isa are keragle shteyan. They're deemed to be almost like shutfim in the chulent and in the isa, in the dough of this future cake or future challah, and therefore it can only go where both of them are able to go. So now, from here until the end of today's daf, we're going to have a very interesting discussion and dialogue. There's a lot of meforshim on this, because you'll see there are very interesting svaris being thrown back and forth. We're going to try to learn it pashut pshat like Rashi learns, but it's a much more complex Gemara than it might appear. So Gemara tells us, Kisolik Reb Abba. Reb Abba was in Bavel, and he's going to Eretz Yisrael, and he's saying a tefillin. Omar, Yehei Rava. Yehei Rava is like Yehi Rotzai. The Eimah Milza, that when I come there in the Bismedesh, in Eretz Yisrael, I should say something to Tiskabel, that people should go and agree and say, Yo, good gizot. So the Reb Abba wants to make a good impression, and as you know, first impressions are very, very important. It's hard to make you cannot make a first impression a second time. So, as soon as he comes in and there's a dialogue, a discussion in the Gemara, he wants to say something that everybody will afterwards clap and say, Oh, good kizot, who are you, Reb Abba? Nice to meet you, Achoshe B'Tamar Chochem, Ari Olami Bavel, etc. So Kisolik, when he actually was en route, now coming to Eretz Yisrael, the Gemara says Kisolik twice, so Rashi says the first Kisolik means he made up his mind that he's going to travel now to Eretz Yisrael, or he's already en route. And the second Kisolik is, now he has arrived in Eretz Yisrael. And Ashkeche, he found three great giants sitting there in the Smedish learning together. And the two versions of who the three great giants are, Ashkeche, Rav Yochanan, Rav Hanina bar Papi, Rav Zeira. Others say, Va'amrila, it was Rav Avo, Rav Shimon ben Pazi, Rav Yitzchak Nafcha. Okay. V'yasvika Amri. And they were learning our Mishnah. They were learning the Daf. And they asked among themselves, Amai, why do I say that this, let's talk about the Challah case, where the Shechemta gave to the Balas Isa, to the baker, the Shechemta gave the Mayim Umelch. So it says in the Mishnah that both of them have rights to this Challah, and so therefore you have to go kitchumen shel shnei. Why don't we go and say that mayim melach is a miut compared to the kemach, compared to the flour? Since it's the miut, why don't I go and say that the miut should become bottle beroyv? Like every time I have the halacha of bittul, say it becomes bottle beroyv, and the only tchumen that I should have to worry about is of the baker and not the Shechemta who lent her mayim umelach. That was a question that they posed. Omer Rav Abba. Oh, so Rav Abba is getting his chance now to make a mark in the Bismedish, and he says, onto the Amud Beis, Harishin is Arav Leikav Chitin Basura Kavin Chitin Shochaveiroi. Yochel Haloi V'chodi. What happens if there are two friends? One person has 10 kavin of chitin, the other person has 1 kav of chitin. Somehow by mistake, the 1 kav of chitin got mixed in with the 10 kavin of chitin. Now clearly, if we were talking about Hilchos Isur V'heter, then the 10 chitin would overwhelm the 1 in terms of roiv and miut. Now what's the halacha? Do we say that now the person who owns the 10 kavan of chitin, that he can go and take home 11 because the 11th kav becomes batel in the first 10 kavan? And therefore, says the Gemara, should he be able to yoichal haloi v'chodi? Should he be able to go and eat it? And v'chodi means and have a simcha and be happy and merry and joyful. Why? Because he says, ah, Hashem sent me this bounty. I only owned 10 kavan of chitin, but because my friend's kav of chitin got mixed in, oh, it got bottled, and therefore I know Hilchas Bittel. I've learned Bittel since I was a little kid. One obviously becomes bottled in the other 10, and therefore it all belongs to me, and I can go and eat it, and I can go and have a simcha v'chodi, and I'll be so happy. So Rav Abba asked rhetorically, would you say that? Obviously, you wouldn't. You would say, no, that 1 kav of chitin doesn't become bottled to the other 10 kav of chitin. Why doesn't the 1 kav of chitin become bottled to the other 10? Because as the Gemara is going to say in another few lines, it goes according to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, min b'minoi loy bottle. Since we're talking about both of them are kav and shalchitin, this is 10 kav and this is 1 kav, they're both chitin, it won't become batel. Since it won't become batel, the person who got this bounty is going to have to return the 1 kav of chitin to the other fellow. Ah, Zoktachiyatz Reb Abba, the same thing applies over here. When the Mayim Umelach fell into the, not didn't fall into it, but when the baker borrowed from the Shechenta the Mayim Umelach, and the Mayim Umelach now merged with the Kemach to form an Isa, Tosis says that's deemed to be a case of Min bin Minoi, because since it gets absorbed one into the other, the Gabi Hilchis Tchumin has the same din as Min bin Minoi. And just like we said, Min bin Minoi loy batel, here too, Min bin Minoi loy batel. If you're wondering which Toisis I'm referring to, it's not a Toisis here on Lamed Ches Amid Beis, it's the first Toisis on Lamed Tes Amid Aleph. And you'll see the top of the Toisis, without going into the Kasha, because the Kasha is not related to us, but if you go to the third line of the Toisis, the Yesh Leimar, the Enochanami, Gli Amrina Le Ela, the Min Beminai, V'och Agabi Tchumen, Shani, the Chamiri, Ki Ilu Hava Min Beminai Alma. Now skip to the the only way that you can go and make the dough is by adding water. The only way that you can go and cook your children's is by putting in the tablet and putting in the various spices. And so you see the Tosis considers the Isa with the Mayim and the Melech being added to the dough, to the kemach, to the flour, and making an isa is considered to be min b'minai. That being the case, that's what Rav Abba said. Rav Abba said to these great three Talmidei Chachamim that the reason why it doesn't become batel is because this is a min b'minai situation. A min b'minai like batel. And that's the reason why the lady that owns the Mayim HaMelech owns a part of this isa, and therefore you can only take it the Tchumen Kiragle Shneim, where both of them are able to travel or able to walk, so too can this Isa also walk. This is the answer. The Gemara is going to focus on the Machloikis in another three or four lines. You're absolutely right, Brother Shai. Bear with us for another few lines. So what happens? So Rav Abba thought, oh, he really hit a home run. He really said a good vart. Guess what happens? Achiku alei. The three rabbis who were sitting there started smiling. Their smiles indicated that they didn't think that this was the right answer or the right pshat. Rav Abba was a little bit flustered. Is amalahu, and he said to them, "Kusaychu shakli, did I go and take away from you your gulza?" Rashi says gulza is some choshev beged. He took from them mikvais, their beautiful scarves, maybe their beautiful bekishes or something like that. Did I go and take that away from you? That you're now smiling at me? Did I take something from you? When they heard that comment, they continued to smile yet again. We don't hear any more from Rav Abba. Rather, we're going to, from here to the bottom of the Amid, we're going to have Rav Safra and Abaya, as well as Rav Oishia, argue whether Rav Abba was right, whether Rav Abba was wrong, whether three rabbis were right, or three rabbis were wrong. But before we continue the Gemara, just as a side note, why in fact was Rav Abba, if you will, punished? Not really punished, but Rav Abba was hoping to say something shetiskabel that everybody would be happy about, and these three great rabbis obviously were not happy with what he had to say. So the article brings from the Chasam Sofer. The Chasam Sofer says that the tefillah that Rav Abba said when he went to Eretz Yisrael was inappropriate. What was his tefillah? Yehi Rava, Yehi Ratzon, that my words should be tiskabel, should be accepted. Says Chasam Sofer, what he should have been mispahal was that my words should be given serious consideration. In other words, they should recognize that I have something to say in this discussion. They may or may not accept it. You know, obviously, Tanoim and Amiroim have a right to go and argue with one another. It doesn't have to be that everybody agrees unanimously, let's give Rav Abba a standing ovation. And today, for the Chasam Sofer says, what Rav Abba should have said was, Yehi Rava, that the words that I'm going to say should have an appeal to them, that the Chachomim should say, Ezrach Tukut, let's debate it, let's have a dialogue, let's go back and forth, let's bring rayas from here, from there. In other words, it should be taken up seriously. But that should be Tiskabel. You know, Torah Lam Vashemayimi, the Chachomim down below will take this into consideration. They'll throw this into the dough, so to speak, together with the water and the kemach and the melach, and then they'll decide whether or not this is a good Dvar Torah or not. Anyway, so once again, the Gemara asked the Kasha, the three Rabbanan asked, what's going on? Why do we have to rechenzach? Why do we have to care about the tchum of the lady that gave the mayim umelach? Why doesn't it become bottle to the Issa, and we should only have to worry about the baker's tchum and not the tchum of the lender, the one that lent the mayim umelach? To that, Rav Abba said, when it comes to the min b'minoi, which is our case, like Tosfos says, min b'minoi bottle, like Rabbi Yehuda says, and that's why it doesn't become bottle. That's why you have to worry about both tchumen. Amar Rav Oishia, so Rav Oishia said, Shaper Oved Achiko Alei. The three Rabbanu were absolutely right that they started smiling. Because Maishna Chitim B'sa'oinim D'lei Ka'amalahu. Why did Rav Abba pick on the case of Nis'ar Kav Chitim Basora Kav Chitim? L'chayri, he could have picked on, if you will, an easier case. What's the easier case? That you had Asura Kavin of Chitim and got mixed in one Kav of Sa'oinim. Obviously in such a way that you couldn't distinguish or you couldn't extricate them, because if you can distinguish, then there's no din of bittul. So it must be in such a way that they were a different minim. However, you could not separate one from the other. Why didn't he pose his rhetorical response when he said to them, he could have said, etc. So why didn't he say that? The Havli Min B'She'ena Minoi. Because he would readily agree, Rav Abba, the Min B'She'ena Minoi, bottle would become bottle one and the other. And if that's the case, Chitim B'Chitim Nami. Chitim B'Chitim will also become bottle. Why? It's min b'mina. Yeah. Nehid, the Rabbi Yehuda light bottle. This is what Brother Shai was bringing up before. That according to Rabbi Yehuda, in fact, it doesn't become bottle. Of the Rabbanan, mitzvah bottle. According to Rabbanan, min b'mina does become bottle. If you have 10 kav of chitin and 1 kav of chitin, and the 1 kav of chitin gets mixed into the other 10 of kav of chitin, according to the halach, according to Rabbanan, it does become bottle. And therefore, in our Mishnah too, assuming that our Mishnah goes according to Rabbanan and not like a das yochid, it's going after the rabbin, so then the Rabbanan's kasha is a good kasha. Why don't they go and say that the mayim umelach, even though it's min b'minoy, it should become bottled within the isa, within the kemach that formed the dough. And so therefore, Rav Oishia was defending the 3 Rabbanan. Omali Rav Safra. So Rav Safra now comes to the defense of Reb Abba. And Rav Safra says to Reb Oishia, Moshe, Shapik Amris. Now, on occasion, Rashi explains what the word Moshe is, that that's an honorific title, and that therefore he's saying to Reb Oishia, you, the great Moshe Rabbeinu of our generation, in other words, you, the great Godel, Shapik Amris, did you say correctly? That's how Rashi often explains the word Moshe. Here, however, Rashi explains Moshe a little bit differently, that B'yakra de Moshe kamishtava. You see, Rashi is about 2 lines lower than where we are in the Gemara, and he's kind of swearing in the name of Moshe Rabbeinu, or in the covenant, the honor of Moshe Rabbeinu, and he's saying, Moshe, in the holy name of the great Moshe Rabbeinu, Shapik Amris, did you respond correctly to Reb Abba's point in defending the 3 Rabbana? Didn't you hear of the famous halacha of Reb Chiya Katoisva in the name of Rav? What was that famous halacha? What is this halacha of Reb Chiya Katoisva? What happens if a person wants to go and bring chitim to the market? He wants to bring a whole bunch of stalks of wheat, and he wants to sell them in the marketplace. Okay? Anytime you buy, let's say, 10 stalks of wheat together, you can go and get $10 for it in the marketplace. So, he loads it on his wagon, he takes it to the marketplace, he has these 10 stalks of wheat, Boisai costs $10, people stand in line, and somebody buys it for $10. Beautiful. Now what happens when the person finds among the 10 stalks of wheat that there were a whole bunch of pebbles? Now I spoke about stalks. I really should be talking about weight. You know, 10 pounds of wheat for $10. And the person bought 10 pounds. And then he finds among the wheat that about 2% or 5% were little pebbles that were together. What we would call schmutz. Things that you want to get rid of. Solas. But that's the derech, how you go and sell this type of item. People that sell wheat, unless of course they put up a sign saying that this wheat has been checked and has all psoas have been removed, you're assuming the buyer in the marketplace assumes that there will always be 2% to 5% weight of these little pebbles inside the 10 pounds of wheat. Fine. What happens if before the sale took place, some good Samaritan, if you will, somebody who wants to be a good doer or a do-gooder, whatever the difference is, and he comes over, Yankel doesn't even know about it, Yankel is in the middle of learning today's daf, and this fellow comes and he removes all the pebbles from the wheat that Yankel is going to go and take to the marketplace. He thinks he's doing a magroisa toivu. Oh, it's going to be nice and clean and beautiful and so on. Well, the truth of the matter is he's doing him an avla. Why is he doing him an avla? Because now when Yankel's going to want to sell 10 pounds, he's going to weigh it on the scale and it's only going to be 9.5 pounds because our good friend, the good doer, has taken out approximately a half a pound of pebbles and now it's only 9.5. And when I sell it now, it can only make $9.50 and not $10. Even though the do-gooder intended well, but Lamaisa, by taking out all of these pebbles, he has lost weight. Therefore, says the Gemara, what does the do-gooder have to do? He has to go and pay him the 50 cents because he removed the pebbles. And Rashi explains, even though the pebbles on their own are basically worthless, however, it's like a dover ha-goyrim le-mammon ke-mammon dummy. The fact that they were together with the chitim and they added weight to the chitim, and people expect to receive 2%, 5%, whatever, of pebbles in their chitim. So by taking those away, the only way that I can go and sell the chitim and get full price would either be bring new pebbles or put in new wheat. I don't think you'd be allowed to add pebbles because that would be, making your tvua inferior, even though if the pebbles were there originally, that's okay, because that's what people expect. But people don't expect that you're going to add pebbles. And so therefore, you presumably you'd have to replace it with wheat. And by replacing it with wheat, that means he's going to have to pay from his own pocket. He's going to have to add some more chitim. So bottom line is, what the Rav Safra is saying to Reb Oishia, he's saying in that case of the person who took out the tzroidus megron shel chaveroi, chayv l'shalom lo d'mei chitim, he has to go and pay him back, not the d'mei pebbles, but the d'mei chitim. Is alma kila chasve. Kila means he has removed some of the volume or some of the weight by doing what? By removing the pebbles. It's ochanami kila chasve. Here too, something is missing. What do you mean something is missing? So explains Rashi. Were the Shechenta to take back her mayim and melach, then the whole Issa would platz. You'd only have the, of course, you cannot extricate it once you've already added it to the Issa. But the point is, just like the pebbles have value, even though they, on their own, they are worthless, but because they're part of this mixture with the chitin, therefore they have value. Here too, the mayim u'melech certainly have value, says Rashi, because the mayim u'melech independently on their own are not like pebbles, they have value. So certainly when you add them to the kemach, and now you make an Issa, they don't lose that value, they retain that value. And therefore, what Rav Safra is saying is, I'm defending Rav Abba, and I'm telling you, that's the reason why we don't say that the Mayim Umelach becomes Batel. Remember, the three rabbis said, why do we have to go after the tchumen of both ladies? I should only have to go after the tchum of the baker, because the lady that lent the Mayim Amelach, that should become bottle in the Issa. And if we become bottle in the Issa, we should only have to worry about the baker's tchum. Says Rav Abba, oh no, it doesn't become bottle, just like the case of the one Kaf Chitin doesn't become bottle in the Ten Chitin. And then Rav Oishia was trying to support and bring rayas to the three rabbis. And what did Rav Oishia say? Rav Oishia said, oh no, it does not become bottle. I'm sorry, it does become bottle, because who's the one that says, min b'mina loy bottle? That's only Rabbi Yehuda, we pass them like the Rabbanim. It does become bottle. So if it becomes bottle, then once again we should only have to worry about the tchum of the baker. Says Rav Safra, what are you talking about? The lady that lent the Mayim Umelach, she has a financial interest over here. And this financial interest is even greater than the person who took out the Tzrayers, because those Tzrayers were worthless. But nevertheless, you say, he has to go and pay. So here too, the Mayim Umelach is worth something on its own, and now it's worth even more when it's part of the Issa. So of course, you have that part of this Issa belongs to the Mayim Umelach lady, and that's why you have the Tchumen of both. So, Reb Abu was right. And therefore, the Rabbanan's Kasha, Nishka Kasha, we do have to go after the Tchumen of both, because both ladies own a portion of this Issa. Omri Abaye. So Abaye now asks to Rav Safra, and he says to him, I disagree with you. You have to go and distinguish between two different types of financial interests. When you're talking about the case of the pebbles, the person who owns the chitim could go and sue the individual who took out the tzrayus and say, what did you do to me? You've caused me a financial loss by taking out the tzrayus. So that's moment sheyesh loy toivin. In the case, however, of the mayim umelach inside the Issa, says Rashi, today on Yontif, it's it's Mamon She'en Loitayim. The lady that lent the Mayim HaMelach, she doesn't expect to get paid today. She expects to go and make a Chayvin on Matzi Yontif or Lemachar on the next day. And even then, she doesn't expect to get back the Mayim HaMelach. She only expects to get back the value, whatever the Mayim HaMelach was worth. That being the case, says Abaya, when do I say by the Boyrit Tzeroyrois that it doesn't become bottle and that the person has a taina against him because it's Mamon She'esh Lo Toivim? However, in our case, it's Mamon She'ein Lo Toivim. And so therefore the question that the three Rabbanan asked on the Omer Aleph comes back and is a fully baked question. What was their question? Let us go and say that the Mayim Umelach becomes bottle to the baker's kemach, and therefore we should only have to go after the tchum of the baker and not the tchum of the other lady. So you tried to say, nah, it doesn't become bottle, and therefore you have to go to tchum and a shneim. It does become bottle. Why? Because it's mamish ein lo toivim. Since it's mamish ein lo toivim today, it's as if it's ownerless, if you will. Nobody has a claim. It now totally belongs to the baker, and therefore that's why the three Rabbanan asked, we should only be able to go, we should only have to worry about the tchum of the baker, and not the tchum of the other lady. Amalei. So now, Rav Safra says back to Abaye, V'letamech, based on your distinction between Mamon She'esh Lo Toivim, Mamon She'ein Lo Toivim, let me ask you a question. Hodi Amar Rav Chisda, Nevela Batla B'Shchuta, Lefi She'i Efshel L'Shchuta She'ti'osa Nevela, Shchuta Eina B'Teila B'Nevela, Lefi She'efshel Nevela She'ti'osa Shchuta. What is this case all about? This case of Nevela and Shchuta, we're not talking about Kashrus Issa V'Heter, we're talking about Tumma V'Tahara. And as you all know, Nevela is metame, Shchuta is not metame. What happens if I have one getting mixed into the other? Says Rav Chisda, if Nevela fell into Shchuta meat, and Nevela is the smaller one, the Shchuta was the roid, Nevela was the mute. Since Nevela has got mixed in the Shchuta, what do I say? It becomes batel, and the whole mixture is now tohir. It's not tameh. Because it's impossible for shchuta to become nevela. However, if shchuta got mixed into nevela meat, ain't a betela benevela. It doesn't become batel ben nevela. Nevela is the roiv. The shchuta is the miut. The shchuta does not become bottled to nevela. You know why? The fisha efshin the nevela shetiyasa shchuta, because the nevela can transform itself into shchuta. What does that mean? Nevela can become shchuta. An animal dies. How can it become shchuta? So explains Rashi that although of course nevela meat cannot become shchuta meat, but it can become tohar meat. How can it become tohar meat? If you leave this nevela around for a few days without refrigeration, it will very quickly decompose and decay until there's going to be a terrible stench to the point it won't be ro'i l'achilas odam and not even l'achilas klovim, and therefore it's going to be, if you will, like afra, like offer. Offer is not mekabel tuma. This nevela will also not be mekabel tuma. Ah, so if you want to go and mevatel the shchuta into the nevela, since this nevela will ultimately become like the shchuta if it's not refrigerated, it does not become bottle one in the other. So again, nevela does become bottle to the shchuta. The shchuta cannot change colors. The shchuta is always going to remain shchuta, meaning it will never get the din of the avatuma like the nevela has, because the shchuta cannot be transformed into nevela. On the other hand, shchuta ain't a betel nevela. If you have shchuta meat, which is the miut, it will not become bottled to the roiv of nevela meat. Why won't it become bottled? The fisha efshel nevela shetiyasa shchuta. Because eventually the nevela itself can have the same din of tahara like the shchuta has. What din of tahara can it have? If the nevela meat is left to decompose and to decay, when it's no longer roy lachilas odm lachilas klavim, from that point on, it becomes like shchuta. Not that it's kosher, you're not allowed to eat it, and you couldn't eat it anyway. However, it loses its din of tum. That's the halacha of Rav Chisda. So now Rav Chisda asks, not Rav Chisda, now Rav Safra says to Abaye, in a rhetorical fashion, Hachinami, tchi isla balam loy batla? When we started off saying that nevela becomes batla in shchuta meat, the assumption is that they both belong to the same individual. The same person has both shchuta meat, and he also has an animal which died, and you have nevela meat, and one got mixed into the other, nevela is batla b'shchuta. Now what happens if instead of them both belonging to the same individual, what happens if the nevela meat belong to somebody else? Would you say that the nevela meat doesn't become batla because of the fact that there are two ownership interests? The yankel owns the nevela, Beryl owns the shchuta, and therefore it can't become batla one and the other? You wouldn't say that. Of course you wouldn't say that. Because when it comes to issa v'heter, who cares who it belongs to? And if you're going to go and say, yo, I tack a hole that way, that if you have Yankel and Beryl, that one would not be kumbotl to the other. But Tanya, we learned in the Braisa, Omer Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, Chefzi Hefker, Koinin Shvisa, Alfa Bishayim and Baalim. Chefzi Hefker, what happens if a person went and he owned any type of Kli or Behema, and then he says, I don't need it anymore, and he was mafkerit, and he lets that behemor kli, he leaves it outside its hefker. Now somebody else wants to be koine it on Shabbos or Yantiv, and he's wondering, can I take it in my own tchum? The halacha is, it's koine shvis, afa pi she'en lehem balim. You remember Robert Friedlander, we mentioned this at the outset of the shir, that you can have a chayvitz that has its own tchum, even though it has no owner. This is totally ownerless. It's hefker. Nevertheless, if I want to be koinim and hefker on Shabbos or Yontiv, I can only go and carry this chayvitz away according to the tchum of the chayvitz. Now, obviously, you cannot ask the chayvitz, but you can ask the chayvitz, or the chayvitz will not respond, what is your tchum? But since the chayvitz cannot move, let's say we're talking about a kli, instead of Tumah Behemah. So whatever the Kli was when I find it Shabbos morning or Yom Tov morning, I assume that that's what it was the night before at the time of Ben Hishmashes. So therefore you can go 2,000 Amis in all directions from where that Kli is. Not my Tchum, but the Tchum of the Chayfetz itself. So what do I see? Says the Gemara, Chefzi Hefke Koyne Shvisa Alfa Bishayin Lem Balim Doimin Kimishi Eish Lem Balim. We give them the status as if there was a Balabas who owns this Hefker, and therefore the Kli itself owns itself, if you will, and the Kli has its own Tchum of 2,000 Amas in each direction. So what is Rav Safra answering to Abaye? Abaye said there's a difference between Mamon Sheyesh Loi Toivin and Mamon Sheyein Loi Toivin. Says Rav Safra, you're wrong. We're not talking about money over here. We're talking about Issa v'heter, or we're talking about Tumah v'Tahara. Are you going to go and tell me the Gabi Tumah v'Tahara that the ownership is going to have a decisive factor in determining whether the thing is Tumah or Tar? Avadanish. Tumah v'Tahara doesn't matter who the owners are. And if you're going to tell me, no, Itaka does matter, I'll show you from the case of Chefzi Hefker. There are no owners whatsoever. And nevertheless, there is a din of tchum. So your difference about Mamon Sheyesh Loi Toivin, Mamon Sheein Loi Toivin, really is a beautiful distinction, but it's irrelevant to our discussion. Since it's irrelevant, says Rav Safra, I'm on the side of Rav Abba, and the rabbis that asked, how come it doesn't become bottle one in the other? No, the reason why it doesn't become bottle one in the other is because each one of the ladies has an interest in this Issa. And even if it would be Hefker, it's Koinish Visa. Al-Achaz Kama Vekama, where one of the ladies actually owned and gave the Mayim Umelach, that's much more than Hefker. That's real mamonis. And even though you cannot be Tveya that mummy today on Yom Tov, you can only be Tveya tonight, Mazel Tov. But that doesn't take away from the fact that there is a different financial interest over here, it's not less than Chepsi Hefker, where there is no one has a financial interest in this Chepetz. Nevertheless, it's Koine Shvisa. So certainly the lady that lent the Mayim HaMelach, she's no less than the Chepsi Hefker. It's much more than that. She has a financial interest in this Mayim HaMelach. She hopes to get paid back tonight or tomorrow for the loan that she did of the Mayim HaMelach. And therefore, bottom line is, Reb Abba is right. That's the reason why it does not become bottled one to the other. And again, now Abaye answers back to Rav Safra, Omalei, Mikam Adamas, Isurul Mamoina. How can you compare Isra and Mamoin? Isura bottle, Mamoina loy bottle. Isra becomes bottle. Mamoin doesn't become bottle. What does the Gemara mean to say? What Abaye is now saying is that bottom line, Rav Abba is incorrect. The three Rabbanan were correct. And the reason is because when can you talk about bittul? You can only talk about bittul if you're talking about Isur. But when you're talking about mamonis, my mamonis don't become bottle to your mamonis. Otherwise you'd have ganoven stealing every day, taking somebody else's money, mixing it together with their own money, and they'll say, huh? It's bottle? Even if you hold min b'min eloi bottle, that's according to Yehuda, according to Rabbanan, money plus money, min b'min eloi, does not become bottle. And therefore you're going to go and tell me the it does become bottle. Are you going to tell me therefore that Ganav can go and steal money and then keep the money and say, well, min b'minay bottle, money b'money bottle, and I can take it? No, of course not. Hilchus Bittul only apply to Issa v'Heter or to Tumah v'Tahara, but they don't apply to money. In our case, the question of the Chachamim was not so much that the Shechenta owns the Mayim HaMelech. I know that she owns the Mayim HaMelech. And financially, she still has a claim. But that doesn't decide the halacha of the tchumen. The tchumen is an iser v'heter shayla. And therefore, the Rabbanan were asking, granted, Rab Abba is right, that vis-a-vis the mamonis, one mamon cannot be bottled to the other mamon. Just like the 10 kavin and 1 kav, one won't become bottled to the other if 10 belong to Yankel and one belongs to Beryl. Beryl's 1 kav won't become bottled. Yankel can't take it and celebrate and say, ah, for Hashem I have now 11 kavin instead of 10 kavin. That's the gummy mamonis. Here we're focusing on Issa v'Heter. The Issa v'Heter is, you have the two ladies, you have the baker who has her tchum, you have the lender, the lady that lent the Mayim HaMelech, she has her tchum. So even though she continues to have a financial stake, a financial interest, she wants to get paid for this Mayim HaMelech after Yontif. But the Gabi Hilchus Tchumen, I should go and say that her tchum should be bottled to the tchum of the lady that owns the cake, that owns the Issa. And that question remains unresolved, says the Gemara. And that's what Abaye is kind of the last word in this whole discussion, and he's saying, how can you compare Isser to Mummy? Isser can become bottled, Mummy cannot become bottled, and here we're talking about Isser, and therefore the Isser of the Tchumen of the Shechenta should become bottled to the Tchum of the baker because of the fact that it became absorbed one into the other. And therefore, the Rabbanan's question remains, why do we worry about both Tchumen?
Yeah. Excellent.
Shelley, please put yourself on mute. Dr. Yimara, the time mai. So now that we have established that the Rabbanan Shaila was a good to Shaila, or their Kasha was a good to Kasha, and Rav Abba's Teretz didn't answer that Kasha, so now we go back to square one, the time mai. Why, Taka, don't we say that the Mayim Umelach's lady's Tchum should become bottled in the Tchum of the baker? And to this, the Gemara gives three answers. The answer of Abaya, the answer of Rava, and the answer of Rabashi. So the Gemara, Abaya Omar, Gezeira Shemetasa Isa Bishutfis. That here in our case, we didn't have an Isa Bishutfis. We had the baker who borrowed Mayim Umelach from her Shechenta. But Lamaisa, who owns the challah, who owns the cake now? It's the baker. Yes, she owes now to the Shchemta, who has the Mayim HaMelech, she's going to have to go and pay her after Yontif 50 cents, a dollar, $5, whatever she has to pay her for the Mayim HaMelech. But the Maisu owns that challah. The challah belongs to her, to the baker. But if I'm going to go and say that I don't look at all at the lady of the Mayim HaMelech's tchum, I only look at the tchum of the baker, what happens if I have a case of a real shutfis, where two ladies get together and they say, let's together bake a challah, I'm going to go and give you half of the melach, and you're going to bring half of the mayim, and you're going to bring half of the kemach, and I'm going to bring half of the kemach, a real shutfis situation, a real partnership. They're going to go and say, nah, we'll only have to go after one, and not after two. In other words, whoever is doing the actual kneading, even though the other one supplied a lot of the ingredients and a lot of the pot and the pan and the whole kit and caboodle, maybe in such a case we'll also want to go and ignore the tchum of the lady that has, if you will, the secondary interest. And so therefore we didn't want to say that, because if it's a real isa b'shutfis, then avada you have to go after the tchumen of both. So it's a gezeira of a real shutfis situation. We say here too, we go after the tchumen of both. So mitzvah ikra din, the rabbanon were right; it should become bottle. But because of this gezeira, we say it does not become bottle. That's teretz number one. Rava Omar tavlin the taima avidi the taima le bottle. Rav is going on the kedera case as opposed to the isa case, and Rashi in fact says that Mar Shoni Isa Umar Kedera V'loy Palik. Each one of them is talking about a different situation. Abai is talking about the Isa case. Rav is talking about the Tavlin case. Why is Rav talking about the Tavlin case? Because Rav says that since you're talking about spices, spices are the taima of it. The reason why we add them is because we want to give flavor and taste to the Tavlin, to the chulent, or whatever you're cooking. Oh, that's a double choshev. The time will be bottle, and it does not become bottle. So normally you're right, it would become bottle. But Tavlin, since it's a Dov HaChoshev, it's time. And this, by the way, brought Lahalacha also, when you have questions of Issa V'Hetter, and you have Tavlin that gets mixed into a huge, huge chulent. And the Ganze Tavlin is a, you know, 1%, less than 1%. A little garlic powder, a little paprika, whatever. Very small percentage. But since it's l'taima vida, it doesn't become bottle, it's a dover choshev. So here too, in the case of the kedera, the shchenta lent the tavlin, and therefore it doesn't become bottle. And the final teretz is Rav Ashi Omar, and this should remind us of the Gemara that we learned a few days ago, that mishum dehavli dover sheyesh lematirin. After all, the whole issue that we're talking about, this chumen issue, is only an issue today on Yontif. As soon as Yontif is over, anybody and everybody can take this challah or this chulent from here to Canarsie, to Florida, to England, to Eretz Yisrael. The old chumen only applies on Yontif, not after Yontif. So all the issa that we have to be concerned about is just a temporary thing. How far can you go and take either the kedera or the issa? So the Ravashi Amar, Shindavli Dabashish Lamatir, because tomorrow this whole issue doesn't apply. And therefore, we're not going to allow for bittul and davar sheyesh lo matirin, and we're going to go and say that it does not become bottle, like there are three rabbanan asked, why doesn't it become bottle? I'll tell you why. Because davar sheyesh lo matirin, davar sheyesh lo matirin, afil be'elef lo hi bottle. We could stop over here, but since it's only five or six lines of the Mishnah, we might as well just finish off the whole sugya. At the end of the Mishnah, you recall Rabbi Yehuda pointed b'mayim. Rabbi Yehuda says that when it comes to water, then we do not go after the raglei hashchenta who supplied the water. Why? Because the water gets absorbed into the final product when the baker is baking, for instance, a cake. And afterwards the cake is absolutely scrumptious and delicious, and you wonder, where's the water? The water gets totally absorbed, and the water is like a dover she'in le'mamish, and so therefore she doesn't have a tchum. The lady that lent the mayim has no tchum. Zokimar, it's mashif in the Mishnah, it's only the lady that lent the mayim. Mayim in melach loy. The lady that lends, for instance, the melach, we would go after her tchum. It doesn't get fully absorbed like the water. Frankly, more about time, if I have the price of Yehuda, I'm a mayim umelach betalin. Bein be'isa, bein be'kteira. Mayim umelach becomes totally bottle. Even the melach becomes bottle. Not like what we just said in the Mishnah. And l'choira I have a stira, because our Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda, poitri b'mayim, only mayim and not melach. And this bryce is Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda says mayim and melach abateinah. So do you want like kasha? A melech sedoim is, a melech istrukness. It depends what type of salt we're talking about. If it's regular table salt like we have, that becomes bottle. Just like the mayim. You don't see the melech. Melech istrukness is coarse salt, where even after you finish baking, you can still feel the salt when you're chewing the piece of cake, or when you're chewing your chulent, you still feel that melech. Oh, so therefore it doesn't become bottle. That mayim u'melech taka becomes bottle in the isa, but not in the k'deira. But we just said now, mayim u'melech v'teilen bein be'isa bein b'k'deira. It's a chassir, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yehuda from the two prices. Here it says b'k'deira, it does become bottle. Here it says it doesn't become bottle. It depends what you're cooking. If you're cooking something which at the end is going to be very, very thick, you won't see the roitev, you won't even have any sauce. Let's say you leave your chulent overnight too close to the fire on the blech or on your platter, and then you wake up in the morning and you see that the chulent is now very, very dry. There's no roitev. Roitev means there's no sauce. So then the mayim and the melech has become totally bottled into this gedera. There's no sauce. It's like, says Rashi, like the isa. It's totally absorbed. In such a case, it becomes bottled. However, if you're making chulent, and in the morning, Baruch Hashem, there's still plenty of liquid, so then the mayim and the melech did not become bottle. That's what he's saying. So we'll stop over here. A voice by the new Mishnah. Any questions? Hearing none, I wish everybody a beautiful Shabbos. Barely want to say something.
I was wondering, there's a story told.